brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey, and welcome to the first week, the first day of Advent. I'm going to quote you something here that touched me very much. In the days of old, Isaiah prophesied that all nations would stream toward the mountain of God. But when the Son of God descends from the heights of heaven, he promises, "I will come and cure." The Lord is not scandalized by our unworthiness. He looks for the faith that welcomes his presence. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a long look at faith here. Where are we? Do you say, yeah, I believe in God? What do you believe? Do you believe God is your Father, the author of life for you? Do you believe in his Son who saved you when you were doomed to die? Do you believe in his Spirit who strengthens and fortifies his word in you? Do you believe? Do you believe that the three persons of the Blessed Trinity are all, so to speak, at work for you and for me to draw us to eternal life? Do we give him any attention at all? How much attention do we give to God? Brothers and sisters, I know there are moments, there are times, there are seasons when you have very, very small children at home and you are caring for them day and night. You don't even have, just say, "Jesus, stay with me. Jesus, be with me." But oh, brothers and sisters, when you look at your calendar, apart from that, when you look at your calendar, take a long look at, are you giving God the time that he needs to speak to you? Do you give him time? He'll speak to you through the scriptures. He'll speak to you in your heart. But it requires an attentiveness and a silence. And God knows we have our jobs to do, know that many of them are demanding. There may be difficulties at home with children who are sick. It takes all you have. In those kinds of situations, all you need to do is say, "Jesus." You acknowledge him. Just say, "Jesus." If that's all that you have time for, just say it over and over again. "Jesus." And he will come to your aid. He will come to you in your need. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be luster and glory, and the fruit of the earth will be honor and splendor for the survivors of Israel. Who remains in Zion and he who is left in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone marked down for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and purges Jerusalem's blood from her midst with a blast of searing judgment, then will the Lord create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her place of assembly a smoking cloud by day and a light of flaming fire by night. For over all, the Lord's glory will be shelter and protection, shade from the parching heat of day, refuge and cover from storm and rain. God wants to take care of us and does take care of us day in and day out. Day and hour, even when we're asleep, the Lord is present to us. The Lord is there. You can't see him by all the natural means that we use on this earth, but God is there. He is present, and he loves you. You know, I've often thought about this. What must it be like for God who loves us eternally and we don't turn to him? We don't acknowledge him. We don't ask his forgiveness. We don't ask for his mercy. Many times that's true. I'm too busy. If you're too busy, you really are too busy, because your lifeline is God. Your lifeline is Jesus Christ. And in this Advent, we celebrate his coming to us in the flesh to save us. On that day, The branch of the Lord will be luster and glory, and the fruit of the earth will be honor and splendor for the survivors of Israel. Are you going to be a survivor or not? Have you been so consumed by this world's things that you cannot give him the time that belongs to him? When the Lord washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion, sacrament of reconciliation, how often have you gone? How often have you taken advantage of God's forgiveness? Ask him for it, and it will be given to you. He purges Jerusalem's blood from her midst with a blast of searing judgment. And then will the Lord create over the whole site of Zion and over her place of assembly a smoking cloud by day and a light of flaming fire by night. Think about this again. Get it into your head. He is here. His glory will be shelter and protection. His shade will keep us from the parching heat of day. And that's not just the physical heat. That's the heat of all our desires or our hopes or our difficulties or our challenges or our sins. He wants to come to us and protect us. He is refuge and cover from storm and from rain. That's what we want. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, even as I'm speaking here, I'm thinking to myself, have I taken as much advantage of what God wants to give us? The God who loves us better than anyone on this earth who could love us. He loves us. And he not only loves us, he wants us to be with him forever. Turn to him when you need refuge. Turn to him when you're overwhelmed. Turn to him when things are going well, because he's always the source, always the source. Psalm 122 tells us, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Do we do that every Sunday? If we're able to go to daily mass, do we go rejoicing to the house of the Lord? Because he has made this way for us, and we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We want to pray for our relatives and friends. Brothers and sisters, we want to pray for the good of the world. For the good of the world. And you may say, I don't know. It's such a mixed bag. Ask God, teach me how to pray. And just say, Lord, I pray for the world's good. You know what that needs. You know what the world needs. I don't. Ask him. Lord, I want the world's good, and I pray for my own good and that of my family and my loved ones, that we may know the goodness of God. And then the gospel today from Matthew 8, verses 5 to 11. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering dreadfully. He said to him, I will come and cure him. And the centurion said in reply, Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Do you hear that faith? You hear the level of his faith? Say only the word, and my slave will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. Just ask yourself now, you personally, not your neighbor, not your friend, not your spouse, not other family members, friends, just you. How deep is your faith? How strong is it, really? I think most of us would say, Well, yes, I believe in God, but, you know, I believe in a lot of other things, too. How deep is my faith that I can put everything into God's hands? Brothers and sisters, we need to grow in faith. Times in this country, times in many parts of the world, are not good. We need real faith to believe that God knows and put our trust in Him. Whether it's the church, whether it's our state, whether it's the world, whether it's our personal lives, lives of our family, lives of our friends, give it to God every day and ask Him for help. Even if you think things are going well, say thank you, God, and give that person or those people to the Lord. Please, Lord, continue to take care of them, whether it's mentally or physically, socially, whatever. Lord, help them. Because God wants to assume His rightful place in our lives. And so many, many times, what we think we want and what we're sure the world wants, those are the things crying for us to pay heed. And what you'd want to do is pay heed to God's word, what God says, and put your life in accord with that. And that takes time. It takes generosity on your part to reach out to somebody you're frustrated with when that person may need help, willingness to turn to people who, for one reason or another, annoy you or persecute you. And ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be of help? Is there something I can do? I will pray, but what else can I do? Because we can get so irritated and so angry, we try to avoid people in every way possible. That's the life of a lot of us, most of us, every day. We want to associate with the people who bring us peace or laughter or whatever, but it's the people who are difficult have one of the greatest cries of need that they don't even know many times. They don't even understand. And brothers and sisters, just take one person at a time. Don't try to be totally changed with everybody because it won't last very long. But ask the Lord, Lord, who should I pay attention to this Advent? Who should I look to this Advent? In a particular way that I might be able to serve him or her in some way that would be a great blessing to them. The Lord wants to build our faith during this Advent. May we cooperate with it. May we open our hearts to his gift. It's a gift of faith. And he gives it more and more deeply to those of us who seek him and who ask for it. And I pray that you may do it. Take some time to reflect on this at the beginning of Advent. How can I grow in my faith? How can I give to another what that person needs? How can I offer help to someone? What might be right within our own family, might be within our own city, might be someone far away from us. But ask, what can I do, Lord, to help them to know you? God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.